Necessity being the mother of invention, Sommerfeld had been forced to introduce his two new quantum numbers K and M to explain facts revealed by experiments. Leaning heavily on the work of Sommerfeld, others explained the Stark effect as resulting from the changes in the spacing between energy levels due to the presence of an electric field. Although there were still weaknesses, such as the inability to reproduce the relative intensity of the spectral lines, the successes of the Bohr-Sommerfeld atom further enhanced Bohr's reputation and earned him an institute of his own in Copenhagen. He was on his way to becoming, as Sommerfeld called him later, the director of atomic physics through his work and the inspiration he gave others. It was a compliment that would have pleased Bohr, who had always wanted to replicate the way in which Rutherford had run his laboratory and the spirit he had succeeded in creating among all those who worked there. Bohr had learnt more than just physics from his mentor. He saw how Rutherford was able to galvanize a group of young physicists into producing their best. In 1917, Bohr set out to replicate what he had been fortunate enough to experience in Manchester. He approached the authorities in Copenhagen about establishing an institute for theoretical physics at the university. The institute was approved, as friends raised the money necessary for buildings and land. Construction began the following year, soon after the end of the war, at a site on the edge of a beautiful park not far from the city center. Work had only just begun when a letter arrived that unsettled Bohr. It was from Rutherford, who was offering him a permanent professorship in theoretical physics back in Manchester. "I think the two of us could try and make physics boom," wrote Rutherford. It was tempting, but Bohr could not leave Denmark just as he was about to be given everything that he wanted. Maybe if he had gone, Rutherford would not have left Manchester in 1919 to take over from J.J. Thomson as the director of the Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge. Always known as the Bohr Institute, the Universitäts Institut för Teoretisk Fysik was formally opened on 3rd March 1921. The Bohrs had already moved into the 7-room flat on the first floor with their growing family. Following the upheavals of war and the hardship of the years that followed in its wake, the Institute was soon the creative haven Bohr hoped it would be. It quickly became a magnet for many of the world's brightest physicists. But the most talented of them all would always remain an outsider. This audiobook is continued on Disc 5.